as we come together on this wonderful Lord's Day evening. It is good once again to be gathered together to sing praises unto God and to study another portion of His divine word. As we talk about God's word with many people, there are still those that think about salvation in one sense, one way, and others think about salvation in another. And as we continually point them to God's word in order for them to know what God recommends for people to do, He actually commands, so recommend would not be a good term to use there, but it is stated in His word exactly what we're supposed to do in order to get saved. There are people, again, they pick out different ones in the scripture and asked about this individual or that individual. For instance, the thief on the cross. And when they ask that question, I don't know about anybody else, but when they say, what about the thief on the cross? And my response generally is, well, what about him? What about him? And they will say, well, he was saved. And they forget that that was on the other side of the cross. And there were many people that were saved on the other side of the cross that will be, and well, that are at this time with Jesus in paradise. They're there, and they will be with Him until that great day of judgment. But we find an individual on this side of the cross, and we talk about a man by the name of Cornelius, a man by the name of Cornelius. Salvation is by God's standard. Cornelius was a righteous man. He was a good man, and no one can argue that point. We meet many good people along our way. There are some that are better than others. But every good person that has died outside of Christ are not with Him at this time. Those individuals that were good and died outside of Christ, come judgment day, they will be cast into the lake which burns with fire. So I would like to ask you, how many good people do you know that have not put Christ on through baptism? How many good people do you know? We have lost a lot of good people through the years that we have talked to, and we have failed to tell them about God. We have failed to tell them about Jesus. We have failed to tell them what the Holy Spirit inspired men to write down in order for us to maintain or obtain salvation and maintain salvation. Salvation, once again, is by God's standard. Tonight, we're going to talk about Cornelius. How was Cornelius saved? How was Cornelius saved, or how Cornelius was saved? So in order to talk about this, we're going to look at some not-bys and but-bys. Very simple, isn't it? Not means that it didn't happen. It's not by anything that Cornelius was doing that saved him, but it was something that he did that saved him, if you can understand that. Again, he was a good man. The Bible is never going to deny that Cornelius was good. But after Jesus Christ came, gave his life, buried, raised on the third day, ascended into heaven, all that goodness that Cornelius was doing, it was not good enough for salvation. Was not good enough for salvation. His good moral life is what we find first off. It is not good enough in order to save him. So let's look at that in Acts chapter 10, verse 2 and verse 22. The good moral life. How many good morally people do you know? Morally good people do you know? Now, you can probably say, well, my grandmother was good. I know my grandmother is going to be in heaven. And there are those that will not say that she's going to be in heaven, but there are those that say, my grandmother was good. She died and she is in heaven. Well, in a lot of cases, we can just tell them, no. Grandmother, yes, was good, but grandmother is not going to be in heaven. It's sad. Grandfathers, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, good friends. They treated me good. They was good to everyone they came in contact with. I know that God has a special place for them in heaven. Well, if they didn't do what they were supposed to do, they're not going to be there. So Acts chapter 10, verse 2. A devout man who feared God with all his household gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. Verse 22. And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So if all this goodness that Cornelius was doing was good enough, we could have just stopped with verse 2 and said, Cornelius is all right in the eyes of God. But verse 22, again, it talks about him being a good man, upright one, God-fearing, but it also said, was directed by an holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. What do you think the message is going to be? Message is about salvation. And that is what we need to understand when we look in God's Word. Acts chapter 11 and verse 14. Acts chapter 11 and the verse is 14. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved. Not just you, but you and all your household. So you know what happens from time to time when we go into someone's home and we're speaking words from the Bible to them, words of God to them? If there's more people in the house, there's somebody sometime listening in the background, ear hustling. We have a good friend. Someone was teaching her husband the gospel, and she was in the background, and she was one of those individuals. No, I'm not going out there. No way you can get me out there to hear what is being said. But you know what happened? She couldn't do nothing but hear the words that was being spoken. And so not just that man was saved by being obedient, but she was saved as well. Obedience. Not by just being a good person, but by the words in which they heard, those were the things that saved them. Going back to chapter 10 and the verses 33. Chapter 10 and the verses 33. You know, a lot of times we hesitate to do things. We procrastinate. I can do that tomorrow. But let me do that next week. If an angel came down right now, and let's not think that that's happening, but if an angel came right down right now and told you, I'm an angel from heaven, and you need to go over there and talk to that person over there, now forget about Galatians chapter 1 just for a moment now, and told you to go over there and listen to what that man have to tell you, what would you do? What would you do? Well, listen what Cornelius did. And Cornelius said, well, let's start with verse 30 and come down. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago about this hour I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in a bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter, who is lounging at the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you had been kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. We're here. Me and my family, we're here to hear what has been commanded to you to tell us. We're ready. He said, 4 days ago, I have seen this happen, and I sent for you at once. 4 days for him to get there. It wasn't that instance as Philip, when Philip, the angel, told him to go to the chariot of the eunuch. You know, that was something that happened in a way that, you know, again, Philip did what he was supposed to do. But here it took 4 days in order for Simon to get there. The journey could have been 2 days away for the individual that went, and then 2 days for them to come back. But the important thing is, Cornelius did not wait. He did not wait. He was ready to hear those words. So let's come to today. To today. There's not an angel coming down, but there is somebody that says, I have somebody that I want you to talk to that will tell you what you must do in order to be saved. Well, what should we do? Go get them. Bring them to me. I want to hear what they have to say. I want to listen to what they have to say. And we need to be, again, as we've used this scripture this morning, we need to be as Paul was in Romans chapter 1 in the verses 16. We should not be ashamed. We should be ready to tell someone. And that's what Paul said. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel, again, is the good news. We hear these words time and time again. Let them soak in. Let them make an impression on your mind or imprint in your mind so that when you talk to someone, you can tell them about the gospel. Oh, you are a good person, but let me tell you how you can be a better person. 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verses 22. And 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. When we hear the words that will save us, again, we need to be obedient unto them. And that's exactly what happened with Cornelius. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again. Not of a perishable seed, but an imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. It's by words we're saved. We talk about this from time to time. What saves us? We see that words were spoken to Cornelius, and those words were words of salvation. We all have heard words. Every one of us in this room that have been obedient, we have heard words. We have heard good words, great words, words that will make us better people. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to listen to it. Romans chapter 10 and the verses 17. Are we willing to do that? To listen to the words that will save us? But no. This is what people will tell you. I was saved by praying. Well, Cornelius was praying. Was he saved? No, he was not saved. Again, the Bible is very clear. He was praying unto God, but yet he was not saved. So we look at that again in Acts chapter 2, verse 2, Acts chapter 10, verse 2. We look at it again. It said that he was what? A devout man. So he was good. He gave alms, generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. Prayed continually to God. But still, he was not saved. He was not saved. Acts chapter 9, verse 11. We go back and we look at Saul. Acts chapter 9, verse 11. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look up a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. He's praying. So Saul was praying. When Ananias got there, he was praying. But yet, he was not saved. We find that in Acts chapter 22, verse 16. How do we know he wasn't saved? Because of what we read there. The Bible, again, is so true. We can't just say, well, you know, that's your opinion on that. No, we have scripture to show us that Saul was not saved. Amen. and is praying. That didn't save him. Acts 22 and the verses 16. And now, well, let's back up one. Let's get a good understanding out of it. Verse 12. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me, standing by me, and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him, and he said, The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth, for you will be a witness for him to every one of what you have seen and heard. And then he says, And now why tarriest thou? Why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. So when was he saved? Was he saved while he was praying? Was Cornelius saved while he was praying? No. He was saved by faith in God, faith in his words, believing what they heard and being obedient unto it. Acts chapter 10 and the verses 43. Acts chapter 10 and the verses 43. So every man out there, every woman out there that tells you, well, I was praying one night and the Lord saved me. The Holy Spirit took over and I became a child of God. Be kind to them. And tell them they're not telling the truth. Tell them they're not telling the truth. Let's go to the scriptures and look at what you're saying. Let's examine what the Bible says. What makes you better than Cornelius? What makes you better than Saul, an apostle of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What makes you better than them? If they were not saved by prayer, you are not saved by prayer. You were not saved by prayer. Acts chapter 10 and the verse is 43. To him all the prophets bear witness, and everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Acts 15. You have to believe in him. You have to have faith in him. Verses 7 through 9. Acts 15, verses 7 through 9. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by the mouth of the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Cleansed their hearts by faith. They were obedient unto the word. They submitted to God's word. They believed in what they heard, and they put forth some action. Going back to Acts chapter 10. Verse 34 and 35. 34 and 35. Again, when we read what God wants us to do, we don't hear a voice as the disciples heard or the apostles heard. But as we read what God wants us to do, we need to do those things. We don't speak anything different than what we've read, what we've learned. We don't add to it nor take away from it. Here it says, So Peter opened his mouth and said, Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. Peter had to learn this, and we have to know today that God is not a respecter of person. He is not showing any partiality, but salvation is for everyone. It says, But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Those that do right are acceptable to him. They are accepted by him. When a man feels in his heart or knows in his heart that he needs to do what God's word says and he does those things, God accepts him. How can we say that salvation is not for this person when God says it is? We have to leave it up to that individual to believe what we are teaching them. Acts chapter 20 and the verse is 21. Acts chapter 20 and the verse is 21. Testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Many people today can say, I believe in God and I'm going to do everything that God says. But yet I don't believe in His Son. Well, how can you believe in God and not believe in His Son? we have to open up the book and we have to read the book. We have to study the book and we have to get to know the book in order again to understand who God is and what He has sent His Son to do. And we need to believe in those things and be obedient unto them. John chapter 3 and the verse is 38. John chapter 3 and the verse is 38. It's not going to get there, is it? Don't nobody say nothing. 36. Read it for us, Brother Glenn.
Whosoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whosoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him.
How simple is that? Who believes, they will have eternal life. The man that does not believe, what is he going to have again, Brother Glenn? Say again. No, the one that does not believe. Eternal damnation. The wrath of God is going to be upon him. You know, we can go on with this. We can go on with it and on with it. And then look at what the Bible says. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believes and is what? Baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. You can go to Revelation chapter 22 and find there that the unbeliever, he will be cast into the lake which burns with fire. So we need to have faith in God's word. So we're actually looking at this man that believes and receives eternal life, the life that God is pleased with. But those out there would say, faith only. All you got to do is have faith. All you have to do is believe. John 3:16. For God sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall what? Have eternal life. See, there's more to it than that. All we have to do again is open up the Bible and look at what God's Word says. Acts chapter 10, once again. Again, remember now, this is about Cornelius. How was he saved? So we're looking at how Cornelius was saved, and again, we can look at others as well. Then we have to ask ourselves, how are we saved? Again, we have to put the ideals of man out of our heads and know that it was not by, you know, our good works that we have done. It was not by any prayer that we prayed. It was not by, you know, anything else but looking at what God wants us to do. So faith only does not save us. Acts chapter 10, verse 2 again. Because Cornelius was what? A faithful man. A devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to another God? No. To the gods of this world? No. He prayed to God. That is why the angel came to him and said, send for this man. He's going to tell you words which will save you. Acts chapter 9, verse 11 again. And the Lord said to him, do what? Rise. Rise. You know, you believe that there's a God. Now you believe that there's a Lord. Now you believe that Jesus was the one in which you were persecuting. You believe this. That wasn't enough. Saul was praying, but that wasn't enough. He was told to arise and go. So we have to understand once again, as we are praying to God outside the body, God is just, you know, that prayer, it's just giving you good practice for when you become a Christian. It's not doing you any good. A young man was asked by his mom, he was about 18 years old, asked by his mom, Josh, do you pray? He said, why, Mom? I'm not a Christian. Well, why should I pray? He understood. And after that, he became a Christian. He understands the importance of prayer. It's a relationship with God, being able to commune with Him. But just believing that there is a God is not enough. John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 42. John chapter 12, verse 42. The next day, the Lord's crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet Him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it was written. Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your King is coming, sitting on a donkey's coat, sitting there. Am I right? No, I'm not. Let's go on down. I was way up. 42. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for the fear of the Pharisees did not confess him. Many believed, but they did not what? Confess him. These are men in authority, the Bible says. They believed in him, but they would not confess him because of fear of the authorities, shall I say. Fear of the authorities. You know, a lot of times we fear the wrong people. We fear the wrong things. Where we need to go and say, you know, this is God's word, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. It said, but fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess. So higher than them, they did not confess, so that they would what? Not be put out of the synagogue. Your family telling you, don't obey the gospel. If you obey the gospel, I'm going to disown you. I have a bigger family. Disown me. I have a better family. Disown me. See, that should be our attitude. Because we want to be in good graces with God rather than in good graces with our family. But I need my mom. I need my daddy. They're the ones that are going to take care of me. God will take care of you. Matthew chapter 6 in the verses 33. God will take care of us. He has made provisions for us. He has many people that are willing to give you aid when you need aid. So we need to depend on God. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. The people believed in the message that Peter was preaching to them. And the Bible says they were what? Pricked in their hearts. They were cut to the heart. They believed what Peter said. They believed that it was Jesus, the Christ, that they crucified. But that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. There had to be some other things done. There had to be some repentance. There had to be some repentance. You know, when we start talking about repentance, we need to understand that it's a change of mind. It's a change of lifestyle. It's a change of our friends. And we are now dedicated to doing what God wants us to do. Acts chapter 11 in the verse is 18. Acts chapter 11 in the verse is 18. When they heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. God has granted repentance that leads to life. So is repentance important to our salvation? Yes, it is very important to our salvation. And we need to repent in order to come to God, in order to be baptized for the remission of our sins. It is important to God. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we read there, as they were cut to their hearts, that faith that they had, was it good enough? No, it wasn't. They asked, what must we do? Peter said, repent. Repent. Mama, daddy, what shall I do? My life is upside down. I've been doing things that I should not do. What should I do? Repent. We're not going to leave it there, are we? There's no way we can leave it there. Why? Because that's not enough. Hearing the words of God is not enough. Believing in the words of God is not enough. We need to repent. Repent. Let's make a change in our lives. Acts chapter 10, verse 3 and 6. Acts chapter 10, verse 3 and 6. Oh, he's an angel. He's told me wonderful things. Did that save you? Did it save Cornelius? Did it save Saul? The answer is no. They were not saved. You know, Saul didn't see an angel, but what did he see? He saw that bright light. He heard the voice of the Lord, but that did not save him. He still had to be obedient to what God wanted him to do. So Acts chapter 10, verse 3 and 6, 3 through 6. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lounging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. So he sees that angel. He's terrified in terror. He looks at him and he asks the question, what do you want me to do? You send for one called Simon and he'll tell you what to do. He'll give you the words. You be obedient unto them. Acts chapter 11, verse 13 and 14. Acts chapter 11, verse 13 and 14. Isn't God's word so good that as we look at it and we can learn these things, we can see these things, and we can tell them to other people? The Bible says there in Acts chapter 11, verse 13 and 14, and he told us how he had seen an angel stand in his house and say, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you, what, will be saved, you and all your household." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. Now the Holy Spirit is falling on them. They have to have salvation. I'm sad to tell people that, no, you don't have salvation. Even if even if that did happen to you, you still don't have salvation. The Holy Spirit fell on them in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit fell on them right here. They still didn't have salvation. There was still something for them to do. They had to what? Be baptized. They had to be baptized. So we can look at many things in Scripture that saves us. What we have to ask ourselves, which one can we leave out? Which one can we leave out? Acts chapter 10, verse 48. Acts chapter 10, verse 48. The words were told to him by Peter. Bible says, and he commanded them to do what? Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. What do you want me to do? You know, you've taught me the truth. You taught me everything that the Bible says. Now, what do I need to do? Somewhere in the course of teaching sometime, we talk about baptism, and they ask that question themselves, as we find that Philip did, or the eunuch did. Here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? Hey, there's a place right down there, about a block or so away. It's called, a river. There's water there. What hinders me to be baptized? See, there's no excuse for you not to do what the Bible commands you to do to the person that knows what to do. A lot of times we tell them, just wait. It's going to be okay. You don't have to worry about baptism. Baptism is not what saves you. Keep praying to God. Keep having faith in God. Everything will be all right. That vision that you thought you seen last night, which you wouldn't say that, that prayer or that dream that you dreamed, that's God speaking to you. Keep listening to Him. Doesn't work like that today, my friends. Doesn't work like that. How do you know? Why would you tell someone that God is not speaking to them like that today? Why would you tell them such a thing? Why would you, say that their soul is damned to hell if they keep listening to a voice that they think they're hearing? Because of what the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Long ago and many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He created the world. He speaks to us through His Son. How is that? It's through the Word in which we can read. That's how we hear God. That's how we know what to do. We read the Word. And when we're obedient to the Word, we still don't sit around and wait on a revelation from the Holy Spirit and the things in which we should teach and the things which we should preach. We should study the Word. That is what we need to do. So we find in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, once again. See, these words are not going to change. That's why we keep going back to them and looking at them and trying to get an understanding of what God wants us to do. Baptism does something for us. Having purified your souls by what? By your obedience to the truth. Not to a lie, but to the truth. For a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again. You know, we talk about this. People say, "Oh, you don't have your BA." First time I heard that, I scratched my head and I said, "You know, you're absolutely right. I haven't been to college that long. I really don't have a BA." And I didn't understand what the man was saying until he kept talking. "What do you mean, BA?" And he had to go and explain it to me what a BA was. I already knew what being born again was all about, but he had to explain to me what he meant by BA. And come to find out, he doesn't have a BA. Isn't that sad? You know why it's sad? Because that is the type of doctrine that people teach, that you can have faith only, and that's what makes you born again. No, born again of what? The water and of the Spirit, the book of John chapter 3 teaches us. So therefore, we need to do what the Bible says. Baptism is what saves us. Baptism is what saves us. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse is 21. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse is 21. So when we look at this and we think about it, we have to think about God's word. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse is 21. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as a removal of the dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism. Well, how do you know that this is water baptism? Why? Because you can go back up and read verse 20. Because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waiting in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to that. That's what saves us today. Going down into the water, being immersed in that water, buried in that water, rising to walk a newness of life. It is not Holy Spirit baptism. Acts chapter 10. We go and we look at what happened there. Those individuals, the Gentiles, were not saved when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. They still had to be baptized. So how are we saved? By the grace of God. See, we all deserve death. I talk to people and they'll tell me that, you know, I don't deserve to be here. You're right. None of us deserve to be here, but by the grace of God, we are here. So since we're here, why don't we do what God wants us to do? Amen. You know, man, oh, I don't want to go to work today. I just don't want to go. Once you get there, you're there. You know what you might as well do? You might as well put in a day's work. You might as well. See, that the people just don't understand what their responsibility is. Acts chapter 15 and the verses 11. Acts chapter 15 and the verses 11. But we believe that we will be saved through grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. We will be saved through grace. God's word said we believe it, so therefore it has to be true. We do what we're supposed to do. It's by the grace of God that we are saved. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. See, if we believe anything different than what we're reading today, we're believing a lie. So let's get to the Bible and understand what God wants us to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Wait, whoa. Did we not see something earlier talking about faith only? But that's not what the Bible says, is it? There's nothing, the only thing that we can realize about Scripture is that if we don't believe it, we'll be damned to hell. So we have to believe in what God's Word says. So let's look at it again. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. If it was a works, we could have stopped this lesson when we first started it, looking at how Cornelius, how he served God, or how he prayed to God, how he gave alms. He done many good things, but that did not save him. He had to be obedient. And by the grace of God, he lived long enough in order to hear the words of Simon and was obedient unto them. Are we willing today to be obedient unto God's words? Are we willing to do what it takes in order to obtain salvation? Are we willing to do what it takes in order to maintain salvation? There are many people, it's sad to say, that are not. They still want to live with the ideal of I am okay in the eyes of God. Don't want to attend services. I have some work I need to do out there somewhere. Some people I need to go see. Some good deeds I need to do in the community. What about your service to God? What about your worship unto Him? What about the singing of hymns in order to edify one another? What about giving of your means? What about partaking of the communion? What about praying unto Him? What about those things? Or do they count for anything? We find it in His Word. How important are those things? Many people just don't care. Many people just don't care. The majority just don't care. Isn't that sad? we need to have a better attitude toward God's word. And we need to understand how Cornelius was saved. These are the very things that we need to teach people. And you don't have to use all these scriptures, but you need to use some of these scriptures to stress the importance to people that you need to hear the word. You need to believe the word. You need to repent of the things in which you're doing. And you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And then you need to live faithfully until the very end. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, why put off until tomorrow? Why not become a child of God today? You understand that tomorrow is not promised to not one of us. Our life could end before we leave this building. Where would you spend your eternity? Where would you spend your eternity? If you can't say, without a shadow of a doubt, I will be with God throughout all eternity. There is something messed up in your life. Maybe it's because you have not put Christ on, or maybe it's because you have not been faithful to Him. Whichever state you're in, change. And if you are faithful to Him, continue to live that way. If you're here and you're outside of Christ, we're asking you this evening to come and make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be baptized, have your sins washed away, and live a faithful life. If you have strayed away from the fold, we're asking you this evening to come back, to confess your faults, to repent of your sins, ask God to forgive you, ask the congregation to pray for you. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.